Yeah. can tell, Brother Dan Anderson is back with us again today. We're glad that he's able to be with us. And please tell your wife that we're thinking about her, okay? I'm glad that you were able to come, but sorry she didn't come too. Hopefully next time. So we're glad that Brother Dan is here, and continue to pray for us on the committee as we try to discern what the Lord is regarding the search for our pastor, a new pastor, and just pray that the Lord's will be done with all that. And just continue to pray. We're glad that Brother Hitchens has agreed to come and be with us in the interim. So continue to pray for him as well. Jason, why don't you go ahead and come on up and give your announcements, and then go from there.
Okay, it's that time of year, finally, where we got to mow the grass. So I'm going to take care of it this Saturday, and then I'm going to
bring a sign-up sheet just like we did last year. I'll put it up here on the organ, and some of you guys fill in the dates that you would like to help out mowing the grass. And we did get the mower worked on. We got it all fixed up for the springtime. They put some new wheels on it, and they fixed the self-propelled drive, so it's working just like it should. So if you'd like to help out, next week I'll have that sign-up sheet. It'll be right up here.
Continuing the vein from what Brother Jim was saying, she's busy with Lydia at the moment, but it's good Kelly's here. I'm glad she's doing better and that she's able to hang on for a while and not have to go to the hospital for a little bit yet, so that's encouraging. The Lord is working there. So continue to pray for each other with this change in weather finally. I think some of us are getting nailed with sinus issues and allergies and all this kind of stuff, so it's not fun until our bodies adjust. But it is spring, finally. Not just what the calendar says, but weather-wise, too. So, all right. I think that's announcements for right now. We won't take the time to go over our memory verse this morning, but we're still working on Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. So if you keep working on that this week, and we'll go from there. Brother Dan's going to do a special now.
Thank you.
for Jesus. Amen. And one in the second song should be a natural result of the first. Amen. If the Lord Jesus is really your Savior, we should be standing up for Him. All right. Let's take our books again. 681, a favorite of many of us. I Will Meet You in the Morning, just inside the Eastern Gate. 681.
Yeah.
a glad tomorrow, where gates of pearl they swing open wide. And when I've passed this veil of sorrow, I'll dwell upon the other side. Someday, beyond the reach of mortal ken, God only knows just where and when the life shall all stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Someday I'll hear those angels singing beyond the shadow singing home sweet home. Someday beyond the reach of mortal ken, someday God only knows just where and when those wheels of mortal life shall all stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Someday my labors will be ended, and all my wanderings will be I shall sigh and weep no more. Someday the dark clouds will be rifted, and all the night of gloom be past, and all life's burdens will be lifted. Shall dawn at last. Someday beyond the reach of mortal ken, someday God only knows just when, the wheels of mortal life shall stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Someday beyond the reach of mortal ken, someday God only knows just when the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. The wheels of mortal life shall all stand still. and I shall go to dwell on Zion.
Amen. I appreciate that song this morning. What a blessing. We thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the fact that we'll go to be with Him for all of eternity. We look forward to that day. The title of our message this morning is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Christ Coming Again, Our Unspeakable Triumph. And I want to share, before we get into the message, if you just find your place in 1 Thessalonians 4, just want to share a brief testimony this morning and just thank the Lord for my salvation. I grew up in a Christian home. I'm thankful for that there in the Maryland area. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity that God gave me Christian parents that had a desire to teach me the ways of the Lord. And I was in the house of the Lord ever since I can remember. And I'm so thankful for that and the blessings of the Lord there. But I remember about 5 years of age, I remember talking with my parents about my soul salvation. I remember just talking with them and just sharing with me about how Jesus had died to pay the price for my sins and how I could have eternal life. But I remember later on during that time that I kind of had some doubts about my salvation. I think we need to be very careful, especially dealing with young people, especially at a young age, and make sure they fully understand the gospel message. About 9 years of age, I got the assurance of my salvation, realizing that I was a sinner, that there was a penalty for my sin, that Christ died on the cross, that He was buried, and that He rose again to pay the price for my sins on Calvary's cross. And I put my dependence on Jesus alone, and it's not by works that I could do, but it's by His work. And I turned from my sin to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the salvation of my sins. I'm so thankful for that salvation that He's given to me. And then about 13 years of age, God called me to preach. I'm thankful that He used a foot injury in my life to do that. And I had just a difficult time. I remember waking up one morning, just couldn't put any weight on my foot. And I'm so thankful that even though I did not enjoy that period of time, I had to have surgery and so forth. And I'm thankful that God used that to call me to preach and to show me that that's what He wanted me to do with my life. And I'm so thankful that then after that, I was able to go out and start knocking on doors and telling people about the Lord Jesus. Even there, when I had a cane, when I was still recovering from that surgery, I thank God that He enabled me to do that. And that's been a number of years ago now. And I thank God for that and the blessings of that and just the wonderful privilege I've had to be involved with that. And then, of course, I know you have had the Jeffcoats last week. How many of you were able to be here last Sunday? All right, very good. And they've been a blessing in my life. Actually, I'm not sure how many of you know this, but actually, after I graduated from college and so forth, they introduced us. And, you know, at one point there in my church, they were at my wife's church for a short time and ministering there. He was pastoring there for a period of time in the transition there in the church as they were preparing, you know, to go into their work that they do with India. And they had a need there. They were just as a temporary time there. And the Lord allowed them to get to know my wife there for a while. It wasn't my wife at the time, but I'm thankful for that. And then they got to know our family as they were there. They had a house there at the church. And when he would travel, then she would have at least a place to stay if she wasn't able to go with him. Sometimes Brother Jeffcoat there and his wife and family, they lived there on the property there of the church where I grew up. And they introduced us. And then the Lord over that period of time, you know, worked so that we were able to then get married. And I'm so thankful for my wife and the blessing that she is to me. And so that's an encouragement. So I appreciate the Jeffcoat family and the encouragement and blessing they've been in our lives as well. And I'm sure in the lives of each one who's here today. And so just a little brief testimony. If anyone does have any further questions there about that or about background and all that, feel free to come and share that with me or talk with me after the service as well. But I'm so thankful for that. And then, of course, I've had opportunity to be involved in different opportunities serving the Lord. And I'm thankful for also now I'm down in the North Carolina area and just teaching in a school and helping out in different ministries there with the outreach program and things like that, just to reach out in the community. And to then, of course, we want to disciple people and see them grow in the Lord as well. well in their walk with God. And so just a brief little testimony there this morning. We could spend a lot more time sharing those things, but I don't want to focus on me this morning. I really would like to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, when we share our testimony, we are focusing on Him, but I'd like to get into the Word of God specifically this morning now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Just for honoring the reading of the text this morning, if we would just go ahead and stand together as we read our text this Sunday morning, and verse 13 down through verse number 18 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll read these verses together, and then we'll pray, and then look at the message entitled, Christ Coming Again, Our Unspeakable Triumph. Christ Coming Again, Our Unspeakable Triumph. The Bible says, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's have the Lord, ask the Lord to bless as we look into this message from His Word today, and then we'll be seated. Father, we do thank You for the privilege we have to be here this morning. We do thank You for the great songs we've been able to sing of praise unto You. We thank You for that special number just now. What a blessing that Brother Jason Freeman sang this morning. Lord, we do thank You for the fact that we will be with You for all of eternity. And we do thank You that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Lord, He could come even today. And I do thank You for that unspeakable triumph that we are so anticipating, and I pray that You'd help us today through this message, that You would help me and help each one here to just be have a greater awareness of the coming of Christ, and that You would help us to live our lives in such a way that we would please and glorify You. Lord, I pray today that You'd forgive us of our sins. Lord, cleanse us of sin and empty us of selfishness and pride and any of those things in our lives. Lord, I pray today that the Lord Jesus would be exalted, that the Lord Jesus would be high and lifted up today. I pray that You would do a mighty work, Lord, that You would not allow Satan to have any liberty or victory in lives or hearts today, but I pray that Your Holy Spirit would do the work that only He can do. I pray that You'd just move and work in a mighty way this morning. I pray if there be one here today that does not know You as their Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray for those of us in here today that are Christians, I pray that we would just live in a way that would be pleasing to You, and we'd be a witness and testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, that You just give us a greater passion and zeal to do what You want us to do, to be growing spiritually and growing in the things of the Word of God. And then as we grow in You, that we would then take and share the good news, the gospel with others, that we might then be able to take, and that they might be saved, that they might be discipled, and then that they might grow, and then that they might go and share the gospel. And Lord, that You would just continue to do a great and mighty work in these days in which we live. Lord, we do thank You for the fact that You're coming again, but I pray that You would help us because of that fact and that knowledge, that we would have that greater motivation to live in the way that will glorify You. Lord, help us, we pray. We need Your enablement. We need Your power today. We pray that You would just work and move in the way that only You can, and we'll give You the praise and the honor and the glory for it. If we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we begin this morning, we look at this title, Christ Coming Again, Our Unspeakable Triumph. It is truly an unspeakable triumph that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again, and we already know that it's going to happen. When we speak of the blessed hope, we're not speaking of something like some people say when they say the word hope, where they say, well, I hope that Jesus were to come, or I hope that I were to be able to do this tomorrow, or whatever. That's not what that blessed hope is. It is a calm assurance. It is a truth that it is going to take place in this world. How often do you think about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe as we see the things going on in our society today, and we see the news, we see the events and things that are happening, I believe that should motivate us to be a greater witness and to be a greater servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that we're at least one day closer than we were yesterday. We're 1 week closer than we were last week to the coming of Christ. And though we don't know the exact time when Jesus will come back, we do know that He is coming. Let me ask you, are you ready for His coming? Are you watching? Are you waiting with great anticipation and great excitement at the fact that Jesus is coming again? We want to notice today three key components concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ as we find here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Number one, if you're taking notes, we see our assuring confidence. Our assuring confidence. As we consider Christ coming again, we want to focus on Christ. We want to magnify Christ. We want to exalt Christ. And we want to consider Christ. I think of a theme that we had at church one time. It was consider Christ for that year. We want to consider Christ every day of our lives. We want to exalt Him. We want to magnify Him. We want to focus upon Christ this morning. And we consider our assuring confidence. The Apostle Paul, here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he writes to the Thessalonian believers, wants to make sure that they fully are understanding what the Scriptures are teaching and what God's Word is saying concerning what is going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. We see, first of all, under this assuring confidence that sorrow is removed from the Christian's life. Sorrow is removed from the Christian's life. Notice in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Notice that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I think of those two words in the Bible, in that verse of Scripture, the words "no hope." Those two words, I think, are some of the saddest words in all of the Scripture this morning. Because if Jesus did not rise again from the dead, remember, as we consider in the Scriptures, then we truly have no hope. But I'm so thankful that because Jesus is risen, we have that blessed hope that Jesus is coming again. These others, they have no hope, and they sorrow, and in a sorrow that they have no hope of what's going to happen beyond that. I'm so thankful that that is not the truth for the believer today. Many today believe there is nothing after death. Many believe that the philosophy that they have is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And if there were no life after death, and if there were no heaven, and if there were no hell, and if there were no Savior, and if there were no resurrection, then yes, life would be empty. Life would be meaningless. Life would be hopeless. Life would be just completely just a one meaningless exercise, and we might as well not be here today. But the truth of the matter is, that's not true. Jesus is alive. Jesus did rise again from the grave. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is the Savior, and we have hope in Christ. We are not men most miserable, but we are men and ladies today that are most rejoicing and excited at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this life, we do have sorrow. In this life, we do have pain. In this life, we do have challenges. In this life, we do face difficulties. In this life, we will have those things that we just don't know how to do except by the grace of God. He gives us the strength that we need to continue on. We live in a sin-cursed world, but we look forward to the day that there'll be no more sorrow for us as believers. The Bible speaks about the fact that He is going to remove all tears from our eyes. And so, He's speaking here in verse 13. He does not want the believers here at Thessalonica, and also He does not want us here today to be ignorant, to be unknowing of what is going to happen as believers concerning those that are no longer here with us in physical presence, that they're no longer alive, as it were, and physically on this earth. We don't need to sorrow as those that have no hope, but instead we have a great confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that sorrow is removed from the Christian's life. That sorrow that has no hope, that has no fulfillment, that has no calm assurance, that is removed in the life of the Christian. Praise God for that. But we see also, let her be under this, that sleep or death no longer has the victory at Christ's coming. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Jesus is going to bring those dead in Christ with Him. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm so thankful for the fact that we don't have to sorrow as those that have no hope. We don't have to be worried as those that have no hope. But we instead realize that sleep or death here no longer has the victory at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great chapter of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks in verse 51, all the way down through verse 54 concerning the death being swallowed up in victory. The Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Aren't you so thankful today that death is swallowed up in victory because Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for you and for me today? That Jesus Christ is coming again. He rose victorious and He is coming back for us, and we look forward to that time. Jesus has the victory. Praise God that He has the victory in our lives today. He has the power to take that soul that's spiritually dead and trespasses and sins and quicken them and make them alive by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that confidence that sleep, death, no longer has the victory, that Jesus has won the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing that song, Victory in Jesus. It's because of what He did that we can exalt Him today, and we can look forward to the fact that Jesus is coming again. And so we consider, first of all, under this first point of our assuring confidence that sorrow is removed from the Christian's life, sleep no longer has the victory at Christ's coming. But I want us to see also, back in our text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you've moved from that place, just kind of hold your finger there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, our key text that we'll be continuously looking back through the remainder of the message this morning. The Bible says in verse 15, there is speaking in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." I want to pause right there. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." This is not just the preacher's words. This is not just some person's words. This is not just some individual, even some individual that has certain knowledge or whatever the case may be. But this is not just any speaking. This is spoken by the word of the Lord. And I'm so thankful that if something is truly spoken according to the word of the Lord, it is going to come to pass. It is going to happen. Though there are skeptics and scoffers today that say, "Where is the promise of His coming? For all things continue as they were from the present even until now." I met even one person out on visitation on a Thursday evening a couple of weeks ago, and he said, "They've been talking about Jesus coming back for however long, and He's not come back yet." And I said, "Well, we're closer to the coming of Christ, and the Bible even spoke that there would be people that would say the very same things that you're saying here today." And we got to share the gospel with him and just pray for him as well. I believe his name was Eric. And so just remember him in prayer. But we think about, there are many today that say that Jesus is not coming again. They've said that would come for over 2,000 years now, and He's not come back yet. But we know that He is coming, and He could come back even today. And I'm so thankful for the fact that Jesus is coming. And because of the fact of that, notice it says that we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, or in other words, to go before them which are asleep. And we'll continue to look at the remainder of these verses. But as we consider anything that God says in His word, it's going to happen. You don't have to say, "Well, I really wonder whether that's actually going to take place or not." If God says it, then that's what we are going to follow. When the Bible says it, that's what we need to concern ourselves with doing and remembering. And we remember that the Bible tells us back in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, God is not a man that He should lie. God always tells the truth, though many times people will not always tell the truth. They will not always be truthful or honest in every single thing, or sometimes even accidentally will make a mistake in what they say. God will never make a mistake. God will never tell a lie. God will never say something and not have it come to pass. And I'm so thankful for that there is speaking in the name of the Lord. It is going to happen. This is an assuring confidence. But number two, if you're taking notes, we see the Almighty call. The Almighty call. Notice we see the Lord will call in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Think about this. The Lord will call. There'll be that shout. What a wonderful sound that's going to be. That voice of the archangel, that trump of God, and all this going to take place within the twinkling of an eye, within the just very quickly, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, the Bible tells us in verse 17. I want you to just pause for just a moment. Just kind of pause here and think about that as we consider this assuring confidence. We consider this almighty call when that trumpet is going to sound, the archangel's voice and the shout that's going to take place. I want us to just pause and consider how wonderful heaven is going to be. Just pause and think about that in your mind, how great and wonderful it is and will be to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and think about heaven for just a moment. I want to just pause and even think about the beauty that God has created here. We cannot fully fathom the beauty of heaven, but we can just pause and thank God for the sunshine out there today. We can thank God. Thank the Lord. I've had opportunity as a young person. God gave me an opportunity there for a short time. And when we had a summertime, my parents would take us, and we visited different national parks all across this great land, the United States of America. We got to go to 15 different national parks, and we had a 2-week period of time. We visited 15 different national parks. And I tell you what, if you visit some of those parks, some of those places, you see the beauty and the scenery that God has created. And I think if this is so beautiful with the sin-cursed world in which we live, and all the beauty of these volcanoes, and all the beauty of these mountains, and the snow-capped mountains, and all the beauty of just the rivers and the oceans and the streams and those different lakes and these different trails and wooded areas and forests and fields and all that we can imagine, and all the wildlife going through. And remember going to Mount Rainier and Mount Rushmore and some of these other different places. And as you just pause and just think, maybe some of you have those pictured in your mind right now, some of the beauty that God has created. But I want to pause and just think about, if that is so beautiful, how beautiful heaven must be, how wonderful it must be as we consider what we have to look forward to in the place called heaven. Let's turn and just, we're kind of pausing here. This has to do with this, but we will just want to pause as we consider the coming of Christ. We want to consider what that is involved when we go to be with Jesus there in heaven. John chapter 14, let's consider that verse of Scripture for just a moment. We're going to get back to our text here in just a second, but I want us to just pause and just take a visual journey in our mind, as it were, and consider the Lord Jesus Christ and consider all that He's done for us. But I want to share verse 1 through 3 of chapter 14 in the book of John. The Bible says this, John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God," Jesus says, "believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Turn over one other passage of Scripture before we continue looking here in our text, to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Hold your place in 1 Thessalonians 4, where we'll be over there in just another couple of minutes. Revelation chapter 21, as we consider this wonderful place, we see the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, and then we'll look over also at verse 21 through 25. Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Think about that. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more sadness. Notice over in verse 21 through 25, the Bible says, speaking of the 12 gates, it says, "And the 12 gates We're 12 pearls, Revelation 21. And every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb was the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. No more night, no more darkness, no more crying, no more sadness, no more sickness. The Lamb of God there, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light in this place, the light of the world, but the light here in this wonderful place. And there will be no more night, and there will be no more problems and pain. Let's focus upon Jesus this morning. Let's think about when Jesus comes back, the greatest thing about heaven is not going to be that there'll be no more this and no more that. That's great and wonderful, but the greatest thing is that Jesus is going to be there. That is the most wonderful thing that we could consider as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and we try to exalt Him today. Number one, we consider this morning, first of all, as we see in this passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians, our assuring confidence. We have great confidence that Jesus is coming back. It's not just a hope or a wish. That's not what the hope is speaking of. It's not speaking of a desire or something that we think might happen but aren't sure about. No, this is a calm assurance that it is going to happen. But then we see not only the assuring confidence, we consider the almighty call. The Lord is going to call, and He is going to have the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful, encouraging consideration this morning. But I want us to go back again to our text over in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and look at verse 18. This morning, and spend just a little bit of time here at the conclusion here of the message today. Notice verse 18. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. You've seen the assuring confidence. We've seen the almighty call, but we see thirdly today our amazing comfort. Our amazing comfort. Now, this verse does not say, wherefore terrify one another with these words. Wherefore frighten one another with these words. Wherefore make people just feeling all kinds of nervousness and fear and all kinds of just jitteriness and so forth. No, that's not what the verse says. It says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. This verse is a comfort to us. Now, let me just remind us today, maybe today there's someone here today, maybe there's someone in the presence here today that would say, I've heard the message, maybe I've heard it before at different times, but I just don't really feel very comforted by these words. Well, maybe there's three possible concerns that we need to address this morning if that's the case in your heart and in your life today. If you don't feel comfort from the coming of Christ, number one, maybe you need to receive Christ as your Savior. Christ died on the cross, as we looked at. He was buried and He rose again for you and for me, that we could have eternal life. We recognize that we're sinners in the sight of God. Romans chapter 3 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everything we think, everything we say, everything that we do that is contrary to what the Word of God says, it's displeasing unto God, that is sin. I met somebody on the plane the other day that said to me, well, I just don't really believe that I need to be saved. I just don't really believe that, you know, I really am a sinner is kind of what their implication was. Well, how sad that is, because we realize we all have sinned. And even after we're saved, we will still sin. We will not be perfect until we get to heaven, as far as we'll not make any mistakes or not do anything wrong. But we all are sinners in the sight of God. And the Bible tells us in James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. We're guilty of breaking God's law if we do that which is wrong in the sight of God. We recognize the penalty of our sin is death and hell. That's what we deserve because of our sin. Our sin is so terrible, it's so awful, that it took the fact that it sent Jesus. Jesus had to pay the price on the cross and die and be buried and rise again, that we could have a gift of eternal life. But I'm so thankful that He did that for us. I'm so thankful that though my sin deserves me spending eternity in the place called hell, my wickedness and all of my wrong in doing, all of that deserves that penalty forever in that lake of fire. The Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what I deserve. But I'm so thankful that Christ died for me. I'm so thankful that he did not stay dead, but that up from the grave he rose and he is alive today. Amen. Thank God for that. And he is coming again. The Bible tells us, though, in the book of Romans, chapter number 10, let's turn there quickly. Hold your place in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. And verse number 9, Romans chapter number 10, and verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible tells us that we've sinned and our sin deserves punishment. We can't get to heaven by ourselves. We can't get to heaven by our own works. We can't work our way there. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. But if we'll realize that all that we try to do won't get us, and we turn from sin and we turn to Jesus Christ for our salvation, that he will save us and give us that gift of eternal life. I'm so thankful for that. And maybe if there's one here today and you're just kind of worried about the return of Christ, you're not comforted by what we've been preaching about this morning. You're not comforted about the fact that Jesus is going to come and that there's going to be that shout, that voice, the archangel, that trump of God, dead in Christ rising first, and then we which are alive remain caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. If we're not comforted by that today, may it be that you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. But you pause and maybe you say, I have trusted Christ as my Savior, but I still don't feel like I'm ready for Christ's coming. Well, maybe, secondly, maybe you need to return to Christ. Maybe you've backslidden in your Christian life. Maybe that you have been started to live by your own strength and by your own power. Maybe you've not been in the Word of God or in prayer like you ought to be. Truly, maybe you say, well, I'm reading my Bible a little bit. I'm reading a little passage here. I'm having a little prayer time here. Getting my little time in, as it were. But that's just all I do. I don't really dwell upon it. I don't really meditate on it. I don't really study it. I just kind of read it and move on. If that's the case in your life, maybe you need to turn back to God and say, God, would you help me to just have a greater desire to be in your word and in prayer? Maybe there's someone that you know that's a lost loved one that you know you need to be a witness to. Maybe you need to take some tracks when you leave today and share the gospel with somebody this week. Maybe there's a sin in your life that's breaking your fellowship with God. Whatever it is, you need to take care of that and say, God, I confess this to you. I know that it is wrong in your sight. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me for that sin. Not asking him to save you all over again. The Bible says that once you're saved, we have been received the gift of eternal life. We don't get saved by our works or by doing those things, and we cannot lose our salvation once we're saved. But maybe there's someone here today that you've been saved truly, but there's something that the devil has gotten in your life, and you've allowed him to do that which you know you ought not to do. As the scripture tells us, that the thing that I want to do, I find myself not doing. The things that I know I should be doing, I find myself that I'm not doing what I ought to do, and I'm doing the things I ought not. If that's the case in our lives, I think all of us, if we would allow God to search our hearts, we could see there's something in my life that I need to say, by God's grace, I need to deal with that. I need to maybe do more of this. Maybe it's not just a sin of commission. Maybe it's a sin of omission. Maybe it's something that you're doing or not doing that you ought to be. And if that's the case and you're not comforted by the return of Christ, let me encourage you to return to Christ. Make sure that you're right with him when he comes again. And maybe when the time comes for just an invitation time, that God would speak to your heart, to just take a moment there and just pray and ask God to help you to return to him and just live for him in every area of your life. But thirdly, to reach the lost world. That's the desire that I have today, that I want to reach the lost world. I want to be right with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us we need to have compassion. I want to take an application from Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, which says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so as we consider this application of this passage of Scripture, if you're not comforted by the coming of Christ, maybe you need to be saved. If you're not comforted by the return of Christ, maybe you need to return to Christ. And maybe you say, well, I'm trying to live for Christ like I should be. I think I'm truly trying to live for Christ, but maybe you've kind of been straying as far as your witness for the Lord. If each person here would seek to reach out to one person this week, to seek to truly make it a good opportunity to share the gospel with one person this week, can you imagine what God could do if every single person in this room today would say, by God's grace, that's what I want to do, is be a witness this week? As one person said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Have you taken time to reach out to someone with the gospel this week? Have you taken time this past week to see somebody who's saved? Do you have some gospel tracts there in your pocket? I know many times I have to admit there's been a couple times I've wanted to be a witness and I reached in my pocket and it was empty. There wasn't anything there. But it's important if we have something that we can share with somebody, we can reach in our pocket and take something out to give to somebody and share with them, even if we don't have the chance to fully share the gospel plan with them. Reach the lost world. The only really sad thing about the coming of Christ is that the lost people won't go to be with the Lord Jesus. Because we believe that Jesus is coming soon, because we know that we have that assuring confidence, because we know that there's going to be that almighty call, this is not something that just might happen, it is going to happen, and because we know that Jesus is coming again, and we should be comforted by these things, we need to, by God's grace, seek to share that comfort with others that don't know Christ. Whatever the case may be, if you're not comforted by the return of Christ, let me encourage you in your heart and your life, and in my heart and in my life, let us all determine to have a greater passion for Christ and to have a burden for the lost world around us. You see, it's easy to say, well, you know, if I share the gospel, they may not want to hear it. They may reject it. I remember one time at a toll booth, I was driving up to a toll booth. I gave somebody a tract and they acted like they didn't want it, but they took it. And they said, trash can, and they threw it in the trash can. But the truth of the matter is, you never know, that person might be convicted later on, pulled out of the trash can and read it. Remember a story one time in a church growing up where the man, I'm not sure if I shared this here before or not, but there was a man that had been knocked on the door. Some teenagers from the church had been going out on visitation, had been trying to reach people with the gospel of Christ and share the good news of salvation with them. They knocked on the door. He took the information, but he did not want it, so he ripped it up. He threw it in the trash can. It was in a bunch of little pieces. But he couldn't sleep that night, and all of a sudden he wakes up. He says, I want to find out some more information. So he goes in the trash can. He finds all the little pieces of paper, and he puts them all together, and he has all of a sudden, he finds the phone number. He calls. I don't know if he got everything all together. He came to the church. He was saved. He was baptized. He began attending the church before he moved away, and God worked in his life in a mighty way. And if people had not said, I'm going to go, and I want to knock on this door, that man may not have had that opportunity to receive Christ. Let me encourage us. We need to be growing in the Lord, and as we grow in the Lord, that will give us a greater desire that others might be saved, that they too can then grow in the Lord and be what God wants them to be. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to motivate us to share the gospel with others. I want to share a song with you as we close today, just a couple verses of a song entitled, When We See Christ. The song says, oft-times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur, and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away, all tears forever over in God's eternal day. The third verse says, life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished, we'll lay our burden down. Then the chorus goes on to say, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Are we running our race for Christ? Or are we running it with other things in mind? Are we so consumed with all of what's going on and everything else, we're not focused on Jesus Christ? We're not focused upon his word. We're not studying his word like we should. We're not meditating upon it so that we can be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. The assuring confidence, the almighty call, and the amazing comfort. Let's determine today, let's live in light of his coming, and let's do what he would want for us to do. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you today for the privilege to proclaim your word. Lord, we're I'm just an unworthy servant, Lord. And Lord, I know there's many areas of this message that, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I thank you for the salvation that you've given. But Lord, I pray that you'd help me in different areas of my life, maybe that I'm not doing how I ought to do or living as I ought to live and responding as I ought to respond. But I pray, dear God, that you'd help me with that. I pray you'd help each one of us with that, that you'd give us a greater burden and a greater desire to please and glorify you and then to share that wonderful story of Jesus and his love with a lost and dying world. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be looking for opportunities to share the good news with others today. Help us to be looking for opportunities to share with others how they can have that wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ as well and have that confidence that when Jesus comes, they'll go to be with him as well. Maybe that's our friend. Maybe it's somebody else's friend, somebody else's neighbor, somebody else's co-worker, somebody else's family member that we might be able to talk to. And Lord, I know we're concerned, Lord, about our own family members and their salvation. Help us, Lord, to witness to them, but then help us also look for others we might be able to be a testimony to and share the good news of Jesus and his great and mighty love for us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around for just a moment, I'd like to ask just a couple quick questions as we prepare for just a time of invitation, possibly. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe there's someone here today that would say, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know each one here today, and only God knows. And I remember one time I was in a service, and there was a person that was there. It was a missions conference at one point. And there was a person there who was actually an assistant pastor's wife that had come forward, and she wasn't truly saved. And we never want to be remiss just assuming that everyone's saved. I think of people even that came to Christ this past week. We had a special meeting. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the work that you do in hearts and lives if people aren't saved. I pray, Lord, today, if there be one that's not saved, they'd be saved. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's one here today, God's spoken to your heart. You say, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know that heaven is my home. I don't know if Jesus were to come, that I would go to be with him. Would you just slip your hand up? No one looking around. No one's going to come to you or call you out. Just either you can raise your hand or just look up at me, one or the other. Let me ask another question. How many that are saved today would raise their hands and say, by God's grace, I want to live in light of Jesus coming? Whatever way that might mean, maybe it's something I need to do that I'm not doing. Maybe it's something that I'm doing that I ought not be doing, and I want to pray that God would help me not to do that. I don't want to be ashamed at his coming by not living in my life in the way that God would have me to. How many of us would maybe just slip our hands up and say, God's spoken to me in some way. I want to live in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Several hands, you put those hands down. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I pray you'd help me, Lord, to truly live in light of the coming of Christ and help us to rejoice in your coming and to joy in your coming. We pray you bless now this time as we just pause and consider you and the coming of Christ. Lord, help us to live in light of that. Give us the strength. Lord, we know that there is an adversary we have, but we thank you that you're stronger than the adversary we have today. And you can enable us. You can help us. Pray for those that even aren't here today, Lord, that may need you and may need a working in your life, Lord, that you'd just help them and strengthen them today. Draw them nearer to yourself, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've always sang that number 216 that he read. Number 216, when we see Christ.
song was one of Pastor Freeman's favorites. This one and His Eyes on the Sparrow were two of his favorites he used to sing as specials for many years here. So that was a blessing that you brought that up and we were able to sing it. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful for the word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word. We thank you that He obeyed the will of the Father and came to this earth. He did not have to, but He chose to do it because of His love for each one of us. While we were yet sinners, He came, died on the cross, shed His blood, went into that tomb for 3 days and three nights, and then rose again, triumphant over death, giving us the proof that eternal life is offered to each one. We ask that we would think more and more about that every day and not take it for granted like so many of us do. And as Brother Dan was saying, help us to be faithful witnesses of You. We pray that Your Spirit would let us know when there are opportunities where we can share Christ with somebody. Help us to be looking for those opportunities, and when those come and the Spirit prompts us, help us to be bold in our witness. Even if we don't have a chance to share the whole gospel and sit down with somebody, help us at least by our testimony and by a tract, possibly, whatever we can do to share Your word with people. And we pray that as You tarry Your coming, that we would be found faithful in doing the work of God until the Lord Jesus comes. Dismiss us now with Your blessing, and we'll thank You for all that You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.